Welcome to the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast. Are you one of many Americans who are tired of people being bullied and discriminated? You are not alone. Bullying has a rippling effect on the person who is being harassed and everyone associated with the bullied person. The targeted adult or child may have been physically or psychologically bullied. They often bring home their anguish with them, and this can have a crippling effect on everyone associated with the one who's being bullied or discriminated. It's time to shed some light on how to reduce bullying in the school systems, how to create safe and healthy work environments for employees. I blow the whistle on how to protect yourself if you're being bullied and educate listeners on their rights if they're being bullied or discriminated. I bring in the best experts who provide empowering strategies, tips on resiliency, how to handle the experience of being bullied or discriminated, how to heal and overcome the effects of being mistreated. If you are ready to gain knowledge and insights on bullying and discrimination, you are in the right place. Welcome to the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast. You know, bullying comes in many forms. For example, we have people who are drinking unsafe and dangerous water while some leaders are doing nothing to improve this situation. This is a very serious issue. Hi, I'm Dawn Westmoreland with the Empowered Whistleblower Podcast. Today's guest is a famous American environmentalist who has been involved in a number of legal anti-pollution lawsuits against large companies in the U.S. Oh, she's a powerful ally for justice for the people and clean water. If you haven't figured it out yet, this is Erin Brockovich. Welcome, Erin Brockovich.
Good morning. It's nice to be here on a wonderful holiday weekend. It really is. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's my honor, and I need to tell our listeners, I met you last year in May, and when I met you, I told you there were 1,000 women at a conference in Phoenix, and I only went to see you, and I was so honored when I got to meet you and we got to talk, and I knew I had to have you on my show. I knew I needed to meet you. I've been inspired by you for many years. Tell everybody what you're up to these days. You are very busy, and you are all over the place.
Yeah. You know, I never thought when I began my work out in that small desert town back in 1991, dare I date myself, that one issue was an issue playing itself out in every state across the country. And that here we are, spring into 2018, that it continues. And the same, I don't know, cover-ups continue. The same excuses continue. We still don't search for solutions, and we just kind of push things away and hope they go away. So I have to say that I didn't see that coming, and how frustrating it is to see that we're still repeating our same behaviors and still not addressing so many of our issues that could be solvable and we could change things. And so today I still deal with mostly water problems throughout the country. I do have my fourth book coming out, we hope, spring of next year, which is The Truth of Our Water Supply. It will give a really good explanation of water. Most of us don't understand the complexity of water. I think that unfortunately we take it for granted when we turn on the tap, everything is fine. So we really go into an explanation of layman science, if you will, so people can understand how water works, what's going on, what some of the chemicals are and the problems are. But there's an upswing to the book because once people are aware and educated on something, they get proactive. And I'm seeing that happening across the country where they're rising up, they're running for local offices, they're changing laws and policies, they're initiating cleanup, they're getting help to people that need help. And that's precisely what has to happen. And so while it's daunting to read the book and factual, it's an eye-opener, but it also will give you steps on what it is we as individuals can do about the problem. I'm also, you know, I believe I heard you mention, you know, I do work in Australia. They face a lot of the same issues we do here in the U.S. We're working on creating a new platform and a large resource center through a website where people can come into kind of like my communityhealthbook.com, where they have a place to report to about what's going on in their community. More often than not, it's about certain health issues. By way of example, there was a report that came out down in Florida about a smaller town that had, I believe, 11 glioblastomas. It may be up to 13 now. But through self-reporting, we can find people who've moved away. It gives them a place to report back to. So we can start seeing what may or may not be clusters. More information gets out there. It can help us mobilize to those areas. You know, oftentimes local media will get involved. People are now informed and they become motivated, if you will, and engaged. And these are all really good things. So I continue to do the same thing. I want to get that book out there. I want to get a resource center developed because this is precisely what's needed so we can see the bigger picture. You know, we all live in our areas and we don't oftentimes realize, wow, another community is experiencing exactly what we are, or our neighbor is experiencing what I'm going through. And this is very helpful information and reporting and awareness. So we can all mobilize together and start finding solutions. I think that's the thing, Dawn, that just gets to me. I feel like I'm living Groundhog Day, and every day you wake up and the same thing's going on, yet we do nothing to change it.
I love what you just said, Erin. And I'm so happy that the book is coming out. I'm all about truth. And, you know, we have this Me Too generation thing coming out where everybody's saying Me Too. And I know it's about sexual abuse, but, you know, there's a lot of people just saying, yeah, there's problems, but they're sitting on their butts. They're not doing anything. What do you suggest for people to do as far as advocacy? I mean, not everybody's set up to be an advocate. I mean, not everybody has that backbone to be an advocate, because you know what happens to advocates sometimes. What do you think?
Well, you know, I think the thing that's most important, and what I've learned along my journey and going all the way back to Hinckley and even going further back in my life, I had a really bad accident when I was 5, a serious blow to the head. And later in life, learned that I had what was called trauma-induced dyslexia. But at the time, I didn't know it. And so what happened was, because I became different, I was often labeled and judged and kind of put into a box. Mm-hmm. And we do that even today, and nobody likes that. And it was precisely that moment that I felt that kind of suppression, that just because I was different, therefore I had to be placed here or there. And it always bothered me. And it wasn't until my work in Hinckley that I really began to connect the dots, because that's exactly what was happening to them. And I remember being out there and looking at green water and two-headed frogs, and someone saying to me, well, you're not a doctor and you're not a lawyer and you're not a scientist, and so why should we believe you? And it just took me back to that place when I was a kid. And I was like, what? Well, I didn't know that I had to be any of those things to be a human and to speak out and to tell you, when I see green water and two-headed frogs, that I think that's wrong. And we were being convinced that what we saw wasn't real. And right there, I, along with this community, learned that you have to have a strong sense of health, trust what you're seeing and believing and experiencing, because others that aren't will always try to tell you that's not what's going on. So you can be a human and be an advocate and speak up and speak out about something that you feel is unjust or wrong that's happening to you or in your community. And oftentimes we don't, because we think, well, I don't want to, you know, rock the boat. Or what if I'm wrong? But what if you're right? Think of this. circumstances that you could change. And we kind of recoil because, well, you know, precisely, yes, I'm not a doctor or a lawyer, but you're also a person. You also know right from wrong. And you can also speak up and speak out. And we can do this, and we are doing this. I'm more excited about what's happening today with these movements, because I think, in a way, we've all been asleep, if you will, and it makes me think of Wizard of Oz, and we all know that story, and along their journey, the Wicked Witch wants to push them all back, and we don't want you to find out what's going on, and they went to sleep. And in a way that maybe we've been asleep, we've been lulled into a comfortability or complacency, and we're kind of waking up and going, what's going on out there? And realizing Superman or no one thing or agency is going to come save us. Rather, we need to get involved and educate ourselves, become aware, ask those questions, and help save ourselves and our own towns and our own water. That's where we're at. And that is an empowerment place to be.
Absolutely. And you know, back in May of last year in Phoenix, you kept saying the word stick-to-itness, and speak about that. What is stick-to-itness? I know what it is, but for our listeners.
Well, I learned that from my mom and sharing with you, and I believe I did in Arizona as well. And my mom was a school teacher. She was a journalist and a sociology major. She always had great command of the English language, and she was my biggest cheerleader. It used to always bother her that I would come home feeling defeated again with another F on my report card. And it bothered her too. As a mother, we don't like to see our kids feeling teased at school or less than or questioning ourselves and dejected. And she would always tell me, oh, Erin, you need to buck up and find your stick-to-itiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And being from Kansas, I thought it was a made-up word, you know, like cattywampus or schlonchwise. And I was shocked when she read me the definition of stick-to-itiveness. Noun, propensity to follow through in a determined manner. Dogged persistence, born of obligation and stubbornness. And I'm like, wow. Okay, so this I am. I'm determined, I'm dogged, I'm persistent, and stubborn is my middle name. And as silly as it sounds for a 57-year-old woman to say, at that time in my life, I became the little engine that could. And it was a matter of believing in myself that I could. I think I can, I think I can, I know I can, I know I can. And my mom also taught me that stick-to-itiveness isn't necessarily something we're born with. You have to develop the habit of persevering, even when you don't want to, and it would be easier to give up. Life will require that we all have stick-to-itiveness.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel the same way. I'm very stubborn and stick-to-itiveness. Now I have a question, because you're very popular. You're very well known. You're a household name. How do you set healthy boundaries for yourself? Because I'm sure everybody's wanting you all the time, or they're very needy and clingy to you. How do you handle that?
I'm glad you asked that. It's a hard question, because a lot of times I go to bed at night with a heavy heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm a mom, I'm a grandmother, and it scares me to see some of the things that are happening. And are there associations? And we've made many associations to chemicals in the water and in the air that are related to our public health and welfare. I worry about their future. And I worry that, you know, I'm not doing enough, because so many people come to me, and how can I, this is why, going back to where I mentioned what I'm doing today, and I want to create this resource center where we can all come in and interact and share information about, hey, I had this problem and you can go here, or this group was very helpful. So, because it's so hard to get back to thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people, it's really daunting sometimes. So I have to go back into myself and have my space, take a deep breath, reboot for a moment, reground myself back with my grandchildren, my family, the importance of living today, and then come back at it again tomorrow. So it's important for all of us to do that because we get overwhelmed. And look, even a computer, you know, when a lot of information comes in and that little blue circle that just spins and spins and spins and spins, I think we get like that. And we need to allow ourselves to be human and to experience what we are and just take a step back when you're feeling overwhelmed like that. And I do experience it. And this is how I've helped myself. And take a breath, reconnect, reboot, and go at it again tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely appreciate your transparency. So what do you have in the future that's going on? I know you have a book coming out. You just started a foundation. Congratulations. I know you said on Facebook that was on your bucket list. What kind of new things are you going after right now?
Well, you know, I've always been, you know, people know me in the water. And one thing that's become really a project that will be a legacy project and we're very proud of is our community health book. And it's a self-reporting map where people can go to and report, well, I live in this community and I read an article that this was happening and I too have that same cancer. You know, we talked earlier about that town in Florida that popped up with all the glioblastomas. And there's a real Me Too movement, if you will, in public health and welfare and people not having a place to report to, because there are studies and cancer registries in every state and federally, but we can't share that information. Not, and I don't mean share, you know, emails and private information and all of that, but we don't have a national registry where we can show the numbers of what's happening to people in this town or in that town. And is there something common between all of them? Is it the water? Is it the air? Is it something that we're missing? And so we don't necessarily see the bigger picture. And one thing that I have learned with all of these cancer numbers is people are migratory. So they can live in a location, let's say they grow up in Hinckley, California, for 15, 16 years, and they move away and they come down with a disease. Well, that cancer gets reported to the state in which they live, not where they're from. And chemicals can have a long latency period, 15 years, 20 years. Chromium 6 can have a latency period up to 25 years. So it's possible because people move away. We miss the location where they live and where an exposure may have occurred. And so therefore we don't make the connection. And Community Health Book is helping us do that. So we've had thousands of people report. We've been able to identify what might be a cluster area. And suddenly communities now become aware. Reporters are getting involved. There's local news stories, there's local action, and we can now mobilize to that area and help them. So Community Health Book has become a very, very special project to me because I've learned we migrate away, we come down with the illness, it gets reported to that state. And I've learned that to find a solution or a cure, you have to find the cause. And that 99% of the time requires us to go back because usually the cause of the problem is lying back somewhere in time. And technology has been amazing. And we're seeing and learning that it's uncovering that information that carries forward to this moment. And we're like, oh my gosh, that's the connection. And at that point, that's where we can turn for the solution, whether we can clean a community up, whether we change policy, whether we've now made a correlation and can remove a chemical so we can have a solution and look at the correlation of chemicals to our health, which can help mm-hmm. science, which can help medicine, that could help us find cures or medicines so we have a healthier life. So Community Health Book is definitely a project that is very close to my heart. I hope that will be my legacy work that I'm working on as well.
Yeah, I hope it's your legacy work too. And recently, I think within the last 2 days, I saw a post from you on Duke Power Energy and coal ash. I don't know if you realize, Aaron, that's actually in my area, and that just disturbs me to no end. And I really feel like it's bullying because they won't take accountability. They're trying to raise our power, electricity. It's not our fault. I feel they should be held accountable.
Well, I agree with you, and I'm glad you brought that post up. And, you know, Facebook has been a powerful tool for us in creating awareness. So we do report on these often as a way to inform people. But you're right. And all of this takes me back, again, to everything that we've talked about. And you talk about bullying. And it's suppressive. It's somebody, and I've never been able to figure out who that somebody or they are, that's trying to hide or conceal information and not take any accountability for what they've done, but yet make all of us think through suppression or labeling or judging or name calling that we aren't experiencing what we are and what's happening isn't real. And then they hope we go away. And this is the moment that's changing. And this type of suppression and bullying and tactics and trying to convince us what's happening isn't has got to stop. And I think we're there as you see these movements happening. And Duke has been a bad actor out in that area for a very long time. And, you know,
yes, it has.
Stand up, you know, Duke, stand up. Take accountability for your actions, work and be transparent with your community. And it's the idea that you want to push us in the box, keep us in the box, and keep us in the dark that makes people so angry. We can handle the truth. It's the bullying, the deceptions that we're going through that you're creating as a company in this situation we're talking about Duke, that makes communities outraged and very angry. And this is where people, and often we see whistleblowers, will come forward. They'll work within that company. They'll know something. And whistleblowers has gotten a bad name. But it's a good thing. They're trying to see what we've done. When we do a good thing and it gets called a whistleblower, it gets turned into a bad thing. When did it become bad to tell the truth? When did it become bad to speak up and protect yourself and thy neighbor?
I can't tell you how excited I am that you brought up whistleblowing, because 4 years ago, I was a government whistleblower, a successful government whistleblower in the Veteran Affairs. And whistleblowers, some of them, especially in the federal, they get beat up pretty bad. I mean, I lost my whole livelihood. I lost my house, my phone was tapped, my home was broken into, so many things happened. But you know, if that didn't happen, it was really a gift and a blessing in disguise, I say. And I wouldn't be podcasting with you today, Aaron, if I hadn't been bullied, and that's just a fact. So I'm happy to be out there podcasting, bringing wonderful people like you that really care and make a difference. And you're not just saying me too. You're out there. You are all over the place. I'm always watching you, what you're doing. I'm sharing your posts. As we wrap up, how can people help you? What can people do to help you? I know you put out posts all the time, and I think it's more important than people just like it. Liking it does not do anything, really. I believe people need to share your posts, and I share a lot of your posts, but how can people help you with your advocacy? Because I know you do more than clean water. How can they support you, Aaron?
By becoming themselves, becoming part of Aaron's army, if you will. You know, Aaron Brockovich was never about me. Aaron Brockovich is about all of us. And this person inside yourself that can rise exists within all of us. You just need to, if you're looking for permission to be that person, well, you've come to the right place. I'll give you permission all day long.
But me too.
To help me, to help you, you need to rise in yourself and get involved. Take that like button and turn it into an action and local action. Whatever you're experiencing or your community, be a part of it. And in the book, we're going to share what goes on in other communities and how they have risen, and they do, and they continue to do. And it's so inspiring. By way of example, in Hannibal, Missouri, a community we all know, where Mark Twain did some of his famous writings, right, came to us, and they had a concern because they had high lead in their water. As a matter of fact, some of the lead levels were higher than what was in Flint, Michigan. So we mobilized to that area. So what they did was they took an action and they reached out. We went in and helped educate them about what was happening with their water supply, why the lead was in it, and what they could do about it. So they did all of that. They'd have town halls, they informed people, they handed out brochures and pamphlets, and their group grew. And a couple of the ladies said, we want to do more. And we said, well, you know, you don't have to be anything to run for local office at city council, where most policies at that local level happen. And most of us don't go to city council meetings. And so these two women in Hannibal ran for office, city council, and they won.
That's fantastic.
They did a referendum. No more ammonia used in their municipal water system. It passed. They put it to vote and it passed. So now it's the law there. You cannot use ammonia in your water system. And they're getting lead-free water. So take the like button, take the information and turn it into action. And any small bit matters. Go to a city council meeting. Talk to your neighbor. Educate yourself. Ask questions and be involved.
I couldn't said it any better. Are you looking for any volunteers for any events that are coming up? Do you have any projects where you need donations or anything that the public should know at this time?
We're working on all of that now, whether it be through the foundation, and the map is helping us do that. We've now found five areas where people have self-reported that are indicating to us there could be a cluster. So what we're going to do is mobilize the foundation. And when we have all that, we're going to reach back out for whether it's fundraising or information awareness, get to those areas. And this resource center that we're trying to build and create, which would be, you know, online, we're in the process of doing that. So as soon as these things are really ready to launch, we'll reach out and make sure that people know. And I do have people email me often about volunteerism. And so you can email me. And when we're ready, yes, we would reach back out and say, you know, of course we need the volunteer help. And it takes all of us to get involved. And those are the things that we're working on. So shortly, I hope sooner than later, we can make some announcements and find those volunteers, or they'll reach out to us, and we can all kind of spring into action and get to certain locations and start the task of being aware, informed, what it is, cleanup, changing policies. And, you know, I know it feels daunting to people because it's not immediate satisfaction, but we're never going to have that if we don't take that first step and get involved. So remember intuitiveness, and we just keep moving forward. Never stop.
That's right. Stick to itness. I definitely agree. And I do love how people are coming together. I can't wait for that information to come out. As when I see it, I will definitely put it out and share it. And a lot of people will share it. Well, do you have any parting words as we wrap up? I know you have another appointment, but any parting words you want to say?
Just what we've shared today, you know, I found myself in the most unexpected circumstances in my life. And it really resulted because I saw something wrong and I spoke out. And every one of us, and we're seeing all of us rise today. And it's to we could stand here and blame everything and everybody, right? But that won't get us anywhere. And I think of Steve Jobs before he passed saying, we're inherently great. We're just not solution driven. And I want us all to be inspired to start working for that solution and stop thinking Superman's coming and get busy ourselves getting involved and saving ourselves. I think that's what it's going to take. I believe in the power of people. I still believe in the good of people. We live in a negative world right now and a lot of noise going on in our head. And that's where I want us to reboot and get back to us and inspired by us so we can change the things that are hurting us. So while it feels daunting, it's also empowering. We too, as people, can rise. We always have and we always will be the game changer.
Yes, absolutely. And we want to empower people, not just enable them. And I know people come to me all the time for help, and I don't want them stuck to me. I want to empower them. So if people need empowerment, I would encourage them to read your books, to stay in contact, follow you on Facebook. What's the best way to contact you, Erin, if somebody wants to reach out to you?
It would be my email, and my website's Brockovich.com, but people can email me to Erin@Brockovich.com, and they do. And, you know, it's overwhelming, and we try to get back to everyone, and sometimes you might not hear from me right away, but you will, or we're aware of an area or where you're at or what's going on, and we are looking into it. So emailing me is the best way, Erin@Brockovich.com.
That's fantastic. And wrapping up, I want to tell you, I was so honored to meet you in person. You are one of the most authentic people I know of, and you're sincere and you're honest. And I just love the courage that you have. And I do hope to run into you one day soon.
Well, let me say this to you. You have amazing courage and you are making a difference. I'd be on your podcast anytime. And it was an honor for me to meet you. And you keep going, and you know you can reach out to me, and how I can help in any way, I will be there. But look what you've done, and you're amazing. And so I'm really honored to be on your podcast, and thank you.
Thank you. I'm trying not to cry because I'm very humbled by your speech, by your talk. Thank you so much. And we will be staying in touch.
We will. Have a wonderful, glorious holiday.
You too, Erin. Have a wonderful one. And to our listeners, have an empowering day, and always know there are solutions.
Thank you for listening to the Empowered Whistleblower. As your host, I will continue to bring in the best experts to share their knowledge and empower our listeners. Nobody has to feel like a victim. There are solutions to bullying and discrimination. Everyone deserves to be treated with respect and dignity. All our future shows will offer practical guidance so that anyone can choose to stand up to bullying and discrimination. You deserve to be happy, and life is all about choices. I always welcome comments and suggestions for new shows. Please comment and share your ideas. And be sure to come back for more inspiration and empowerment. I am Dawn Marie Westmoreland signing off and wishing you much happiness and empowerment in your day.